You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Niall Flanagan.
Hello, hello.
Anthony Askew.
Good evening.
Dwayne Maloney.
Oh.
And me, Brian Smith. This week's episode, The Miasma of the Void, Vanilla Ice, Part 3. But first, the week in JoJo's news. So, Sushidio, is that how you pronounce them?
Studio.
Yeah, yes. He's teamed up with Phil Collins, and no, he's teamed up with Terraformers and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure to promote the comics and also, is it makeup?
Fashion, cosmetics.
Fashion, beauty salons, yeah.
It's like high-end cosplay up on this piece.
Yeah, apparently they'd done something with JoJo's before a few years back, because when I was searching for the English version of this piece of news, I got some old news pieces.
But I mean, like, that makes sense, like, because JoJo's full of pretty men, but, like, isn't Terraformers about giant alien monsters?
It's full of pretty men killing racist stereotypes. Sorry.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I was like, I don't know if you'd want any makeup that would turn you into that. That would be bad.
And the next bit of news I've got is in Stardust Shooters, the mobile game, they're running a anime climax campaign where you can get a SSR Vanilla Ice as one of the rewards.
What's an SSR?
Is that super, super rare in this talk? I don't play Love Live, so I don't know exactly.
I'm going to guess so.
I see people talking about SSRs and URs, which I assume is ultra rare.
Yeah. It could be some sort of acronym for not wearing pants.
Super, super raw.
Sans pantaloons, sans shorts.
Yeah, well, I just looked up super, super rare, and that seems to be it for other things. So I guess it will be for this too. Who knows? We still can't play it in English, so which is probably good, because otherwise we'd be playing all that all the time.
Quit our jobs. Be SSR hunters.
Well, we'd need jobs to be able to buy the whatever tokens there are to get more pulls or whatever.
Okay.
So you've got to keep your jobs for these mobile games. You can't quit them. You work your job in order to be able to play them. like trading card games.
Yeah, when you ascend to the top echelons of SSR hunting, can you commit to it full time? Live off the prize money.
A 1995 comic by Hirohiko Araki is being, I think English title people give it is Prison Break, is being adapted into a stage play.
Stage play.
Yep, that's the new hotness these days.
Yeah, so it's not a musical. It's a proper stage play, so.
Yeah.
But I'll never be able to see it. Well, I could, but I wouldn't be able to understand Japanese.
If it gets big enough, you know, it could be saying, I don't know.
That's
it's
true.
Like, being put on the West End, there's like some TV actors on a break. You could see, like, I don't know, like Ralph Fiennes, Brian Blessed. Ian McKellen's Prison Break.
How early a work is this of his? Because if it's old enough, since he's an immortal vampire, they could put it on the Globe.
95 is
what it is. Okay. One of his later works then, okay.
I think we mentioned before about the anthology songs collections. They've put videos up advertising the third one and also preview clips, which people on Twitter were making the biggest deal about the fact that one of the songs is called Oh My God, Jah!
My God, Jah.
Like, the other songs are Naked Silver and Star Platinum. And the main track is Stand Proud, Dramatic Version.
Ooh. Is that the one with the sound effects in? Or
I don't know.
That would make it more dramatic.
Is that dramatic enough already? I don't know.
Okay, next on my news is Haruyama have on the 15th of May some Stardust Crusaders shirts, ties, belts, and tie tacks went on sale. They are Jotaro and Star Platinum themed.
Okay. And it's one of the belts, Jotaro's double belt.
Oh yes, you can get all those belts.
Okay. So buy two of them and you can be Jotaro.
Yes. Yeah, I'll just shot you a link.
Oh good, let's...
Ooh!
The shirts, I believe, are £25 plus tax.
That's a lot less than I thought, because they look quite... Perhaps it's a good photograph, but they look quite extravagant. Look at the inside of the collar, they're beautiful. See the belt? Belts.
They are pretty good bits of stealth anime merchandise.
Because
the shirts are just white shirts with either Jotaro's hand from his hat on the cuffs and on the collar inside, though. And I think also inside the cuffs as well. And the Star Platinum one, Star Platinum's fist in a similar pattern.
See, they need to do a waistcoat now, because I would love that Star Platinum fist on the inside of a waistcoat. Or a blazer jacket, for that matter.
Why would you wear a waistcoat, Anthony? Are you a 6'4" but pretending to be an adult?
John Virgo style. We've, I don't know. Waistcoats are nice. Those ties are swish as well.
They are pretty good, yeah. One's got like a chain design and the other's got Star Platinum's fists printed all over. Purple on purple, though, so you'd have to look quite close to notice that you're wearing a ridiculous tie. And you get a tie tack with the gold hand from Jotaro's hat.
Yeah.
And the belts in the colours from the anime and also done in black and grey.
The black and grey kind of, it's a bit of a waste. You want the pattern. Yeah. The green one's kind of nice, actually. I'll go for
that. There's got to be like a two-pack for those. Come on. That's just missing out.
The thing is, click on the link to see the product properly, and it looks far more tacky. They have color graded that image on there quite nicely. Do you agree?
Are you talking about the belt?
Yeah, very.
It could be against the white. It might not look.
Yeah, and where are you going to find shoes in that color?
Do it yourself. Isn't that hard of a pattern to replicate? It's this like red triangle, green triangle.
But I'll have all three if anyone's offering.
Wear them all at the same time.
All you need is a giant chain for your collar and you'll be set.
Sure, just down to the hardware store. And,
or Harbour, maybe.
And that's it from JoJo's News for me. Anybody else got any JoJo's News? Anthony, do you want to tell people how you managed to buy some JoJo's on...
Oh, yes. I was telling Niall about this. So, yeah, if you're from the UK, you may well be aware that Comixology isn't as good in the UK. You miss out on certain titles like JoJo's, Dragon Ball, all that kind of stuff. But this is it. You go on to the US store. Am I allowed? Is this legal to talk about this kind of thing?
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Probably won't be arrested much.
Maybe I'm over kind of hyping it.
What sort of thing you're going to say?
Well, you would use means to get on as a... an American citizen, for example, you can then go on the US store.
You just, as an American IP address, you're not pretending to be an American citizen.
Okay, maybe I worded it wrong, trying to word it right. Anyway, basically, it won't allow you to buy comics using PayPal, but what you do, you will gift yourself an e-card. And once that e-card is on your account, you can then use it to buy US goods.
How did you buy an e-card? Because I tried doing it, and I could not buy an e-card either.
I used PayPal.
It tells me my PayPal, it belongs to a UK address, so therefore I can't buy any
cards. I don't know how I did it then, because I'll have to double check my PayPal settings. I've definitely got an address on there. I don't think you can use one without an address, but
no.
Maybe I was the last man to do it.
I was going
to
say, have you done it again since you did it the first time?
Moments later, I bought a load of Dragon Ball.
Was that with the same... e-card.
Different e-card.
Oh, you bought another one, did you?
Yeah. So...
But how long ago was this? Did you do?
Last
Wednesday, I think.
Last Wednesday, yeah. So try it. It's pretty simple, really. But I had the bottle to try it.
Didn't work for me.
And it doesn't work for Brian, so maybe a select few will let
me know. I was going to say, maybe it won't work again for Anthony.
Maybe this is all nonsense. I will. Actually, I don't want to try again because I've already spent too much money on on this. So it either works or it doesn't. If you're lucky enough for having it work, brilliant. Otherwise, unlucky.
Mm.
Yeah, bit of JoJo's news from me.
Yeah,
kinda. Fabricated news.
Did we say it last time? Did we even have these details before last time? When there's been a bit more details put out about the DVDs that Ben Blues are putting out for Phantom Blood and Battle Tendency coming out in July 28th.
Yeah, I think we mentioned anything new has come out. There's going to be a dub on them.
Right. Yeah. It'll be 26 episodes on 3 DVDs though, so they're really kind of packing them on.
Probably nothing extra. Yeah.
Dwayne, you're getting very quiet.
Oh, sorry.
Speak up.
Hello.
That's better.
Okay.
Yeah. Just putting the whole thing on 3 DVDs, they're kind of really pushing them in. It's like, I hope it's not going to affect the quality of the content too much.
That would be a balls.
Hmm. But you can still just watch it in Crunchyroll.
For how long?
For now. And then you may be able to watch it on Netflix.
Mm.
Do Warners do anything with Netflix? Or are they people who don't do things with Netflix? If they do a Blu-ray version, the good thing, if it's coming out on Warners, is that will be Region Zero.
Okay.
If they ever do a Blu-ray of it.
Hmm.
So, that's it for JoJo's News. So in which case, Anthony's turn to do the synopsis of this Game of Three Halves.
I think it's a Game of Thrones. Yeah, so, the episode opens initially with Jotaro and the gang, they kinda find all this devastation caused by Vanilla Ice. And if I recall correctly, cause I watched it this morning, they open up a door and it's like, what's beyond this door? And you don't actually see everything, but I presume it's just more devastation. So they're kind of worried, you know, they don't know what's happened at this point. But anyway, we join Polnareff and Iggy for that awful moment where... I'm still a little upset, actually. Polnareff is getting destroyed by the power of the void. He's sat there and he kind of gives a little wave, as we mentioned last time. But that's not quite true, because Vanilla Ice leaves the protection of his stand and we see him and he's weak and bleeding and he's commenting on, you know, he didn't plan it to go this way. He wanted to get rid of Polnareff and Avdol in one fell swoop, but no, wasn't that lucky. But what's this? On the ceiling, Iggy has saved Polnareff with the power of the fool. He's still alive, and I did not know this was going to happen, so I was very pleased. Did anybody else, squeal a little bit?
I knew already what was going to happen.
No.
I couldn't remember how it happened. So I was like, how does this even... Because when you see him get like dissolved in light, you're like, oh, fuck, wait a minute.
He loses his earring and everything. So it's like, he's lost a part of his jewellery. He's definitely dead. But no, he is not.
Yeah, I knew he was in a later part. So.
Oh, God. I'm the only one who's... Not stupid, I'm not going to call myself stupid, but the only one who's fresh to this. But alas, poor Iggy, he's in a critical state. He's looking worse than ever, and suddenly Polnareff kind of starts falling from the roof as he can feel the stand's power weakening and fading. You know, the life essence has kind of drained itself from the sand, but as he's fallen, Polnareff is just like, no. I was meant to be the one that saved you, not the other way around. And he just becomes the ultimate badass that I could have always hoped. And Silver Chariot just slams his sword straight through Vanilla Ice's forehead, and he snaps his neck by twisting the sword around. And I was like, yes. Although I like Vanilla Ice a lot, I don't think I've wanted a villain to die as much as this guy. But he's still not dead, no. And just as Polnareff is kind of... thinking about his lost comrade, he's down, he's upset. He hears Vanilla Ice behind him, and he knew this was going to happen, and Silver Chariot jumps up, and he just kind of does his aura of his own, and he's just getting sliced and diced and stabbed, and he's kind of just not dying. And at this point, Polnareff, he's aware that, in fact, Vanilla Ice is now a vampire. You know, his stand isn't there. Is that normal for someone who, I guess, is a stand user, then become a vampire? Once they're dead in the... kind of normal human way, do they lose the power of the stand? Is that the idea behind that?
I don't know. I think he's just, he's just so enraged, he keeps coming at him, that he's just trying to go and sort of beat him with his own strength. Because he saw how mad he got earlier, where he didn't disintegrate Iggy, he just punched him instead.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But he keeps coming at him, and Polnareff is just going hell for leather. And at this point, obviously, he is aware that he's a vampire, so Silver Chariot kind of slashes open the shutters on the window, revealing sunlight. And Vanilla Ice goes to lunge at him, and his arm turns to ash. And say, like, oh, he is a vampire. Well, you can tell he's a vampire because he's got holes in him and he's not dead yet. But Polnareff kind of keeps taunting him and trying to coax him in, and he steps forward, and his leg turns to ashes. And still trying to coax him, he's, you know, kind of teasing him in what way and such, and Silver Chariot just gives him a little nudge into the sun. It felt good. I did that little push as well. I was mentally with him, and, you know, he turns to ash, as a vampire would. And then I think it's the most sad moment of the show for me so far. Polnareff's contemplating solemnly, you know, he's on his knees, and for a brief moment you see a kind of an ember of life force, or from what we assume to be life force, flutter out the window and say, oh, what's this? Is this, I don't know where it was. And then suddenly it's Iggy holding Avdol's back, and he flies off into the sky, and it's pretty sad. It's pretty sad. And we get the text, just in case you weren't sure, that Avdol is dead. Iggy is dead. I don't think it needed that.
I think it's like, Stan powers are weird, dude. All the other henchmen.
But these are our friends.
But technically they are the henchmen of Joseph.
Oh, Dio's the good guy. But I'm kind of pleased they broke away from that scene, because I don't think I could watch another couple of minutes. It was pretty sad. So we jump to Japan, and it's 43 days after the gang left, as we're told. And Susie Q is in Japan. She still doesn't know that Holly's kind of critical condition, and she's going around filming things, taking pictures of things in Japan. She's pretty excited. She films a Yakuza thug who just happens to be walking along the street, and he is not impressed. He's like, listen, foreign granny, do you want to see blood? And Rosas, I don't know what if he's got a stand power or ripple power or whatever else, but he gives him a pretty sweet kick, and off they go. They're heading to the Kujo household, and Rosas is chewing himself. You know, he's, do I tell Susie, and, you know, how do I do it? But she already knows, and she says the only thing that we can do for Holly now is just believe in Joseph and Jotaro and the gang to do what needs to be done. And Rosas is standing outside the building, crying his eyes out, and I wasn't that sad. I've just seen Iggy and Avdol confirmed dead, so that kind of tops this, so, yeah. Then, third part, which has this, there's a certain guy turns up, apparently, Nuke Saku, would that be the right way of pronouncing this?
Yeah.
He is a vampire, he doesn't have any stand powers, and he's listening through the floor of the building, and he can hear Jotaro and the gang running around, and he thinks, yes, it's finally my time to shine. I've been bullied by all the other henchmen of Dio, you know, Darby, Younger, and all the gang, and Vanilla Ice, so just because I don't have a stand doesn't mean to say I can't beat them. And then his plan kind of comes a vision, and they come across a poor woman screaming for help, and she's asking for mercy. She's worried that they're vampires and they're one of Dio's henchmen, and they're like, oh yeah, we're friends. And then boom, Star Platinum just punches her so hard in the face, and he says, look, I'm a friend of justice. And obviously, you know, they see through this ruse. And Nuke Saku can't understand why. He's like, why? You know, I've got a woman's face on the back of my head. Why? How did you know? And apparently it was because the hands weren't correct. You know, he just put his arms back, but, you know, they were flipped. And he gets aura'd for a good chunk. But he's immortal, so he won't die, which is pretty harsh. And, yeah. That's it for that segment. And then a bit I've only just watched about a minute ago, because I didn't know there was a little segment after the outro. Because, you know, Polnareff's still got him. He's still alive and kicking. He's banging himself up on the stairs. And he wants to go and fight Dio. Surely you would wait for Jotaro. Surely you would wait.
He doesn't know that they've survived.
I guess not.
He's died. He's the only one left.
Oh, imagine that was the case. That would be pretty sad. But who's at the top of the stairs looking down in his amazing glory? Dio himself. And I got a little goosebump across the entire part of my body when I seen him. And that was the episode. I thought it was pretty good. Sad, but good.
Yeah, it kind of, an emotional roller coaster in this one. Mm. It kind of needed that bit with Suzy Q fucking around in Japan. I was like, oh thank goodness. This I can deal with for a little bit.
Yeah. Again, I didn't anticipate feeling at all, a little bit upset over Iggy's vengeful passing. Well, you know, he goes out like a champ, you know, he's doing the one right thing. And says that little bit, and everyone, Iggy, you fool, what have you done? And Iggy's just like, heh, smirks, and then drops dead.
Yeah, the commentator's thing was like, Vanilla Ice said that a dog couldn't have a proud soul, but he was fucking wrong, because this dog's cool.
Stands at the embodiment of the soul, so ergo, dogs do have souls, ergo, Iggy did go to heaven, so he's fine.
Oh, it's so sad. When the little kind of wisp of soul escapes the room, I didn't know where it was for a second. I thought it was maybe the fool coming back to life or something. And then you see this weird outline of Ziggy first. And I was like, oh, no. Ziggy. No. And then it's the most detailed drawing of Iggy that I've seen.
It is a pretty good drawing.
It is really good. I've got a screenshot of it, but I might have to delete it because it's hard to look at because it's still pretty sad.
It makes it real. I just well, like, I don't want this, like, part of is going to, oh, Iggy, I was just getting to, like, enjoy having you around and calling you friend. We get to kind of all the memories of Iggy. And let's see how drastically, his face turns. One episode to the next.
I just admire the fact that they stuck with those character design changes in the anime.
Yeah, no, that was really good of them. Like, the fact that that's fairly close to the manga. that was beautiful. It was really nice to see Polnareff, like, fuck a dude up for once. And I think that must have been Vanilla Ice going, like, Polnareff's win-loss ratio is, like, fairly bad. So it's like, oh, I didn't lose to Polnareff. I lost to Avdol. Because he's the one who saved Polnareff, who then kicked my ass. So, but technicality, because he really didn't want to have, like, Polnareff mess him up so bad. And then he messes him up even worse. That was pretty great. Also, he does a great Dutch moment from Predator. It's like, kill me, I'm here.
Kill me, I'm here.
That was pretty good.
Do it now.
Oh, Polnareff is fantastic. These past couple of episodes, Iggy is amazing, as is Polnareff, and forget Jotaro, I'm not interested anymore.
I think I've said it before, I would have watched a show where Polnareff was the main character.
We have been watching a show where
it's mostly that. But, like, actually, like, Polnareff's Bizarre Adventure, you know. As a named one.
He's a fun, tough nut. I mean, in the post-credits thing, Let's just talk of what happened to him in the previous fight. He's lost the toes in one of his feet, and he's like a massive chunk taken out of his thighs, amongst other busted scratches. Let's put some, like,
ripped
curtains on that.
He's missing some fingers as well, yeah.
Ripped curtains over all that, and someone's saying, ah, Derek, I can walk again. I can even jump. He's like, no,
jump a little. Don't jump up.
You're like, crippled for life. You lost most of your fucking thigh in your leg.
Really good at first aid.
I did like it seemed like such a weird aside, but the Nukasaku thing, I liked the thing. It was kind of like one of those, you know, kind of kids things, like, you can't play with us, Nukasaku. You can't play basketball. You're too short. They were kind of just bullying him. You're just a vampire. You don't even have stand powers. You stay back behind.
Like, I kind of wish we saw more in the series of goings on at DOH. Yeah. And how all these henchmen behave towards each other before this mission set off.
That would be pretty good as a side series where Dio's like, okay, guys, you know, he's facing Shadow and somehow still having a meeting with everyone. It's like, okay, let's get this all planned, right? You're running the stand in Pakistan, yeah? It's like, yeah. It's like, how's that going? Business is okay. You know, it's just like, just try and get everyone organized, because I think it's like the least organized organization
Well, yeah.
I felt like it as well that, you know, I guess Vanilla Ice and Darby, Terrence Darby looking down Lukasaku, but fun. If Kenny G is giving them flack
but
as well.
Kenny G has powers. Come on.
He has awful powers. Defeated in one blow.
Is a stand power. Obviously, it's like some sort of stand supremacy they believe in.
Yeah.
Do you recognize the voice of Nukisaku?
I didn't actually look him up, no, actually, in the end.
Well, see, Dwayne and Anthony had a chance. I didn't know.
Is it the guy from... Somebody from Yokai Watch.
It is, yeah.
It's a wisp for something.
It's the fat kid.
Oh,
fat kid from Yokai Watch.
He's coming on up in the world, at least.
Would be his, I think, the biggest role I can see against him.
Oh, is that Nukisaku with his male face or his female face?
That's from his male face. The woman who played the female version was Cure Twinkle in Go Princess Precure.
I was really hoping it was the same person just going like, I'm a girl! That would have been much better. Like a really bad disguise.
The thing is, he gets grief for not having stand powers, but he is immortal.
Yeah.
I would rather be immortal than have Hermit Purple.
I'm not sure why Yu-Gi-Oh didn't make a bunch of vampire stand users, because you send like friggin' Oingo Boingo after him and they have kind of awful powers.
It would be hard to do the whole, you know, lure him to the cafe during the day and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I was
going to say.
Pack them in their sleep. They're always walking about in day, so they must sleep at night. And you're a vampire. It's perfect. What was the... They kept mentioning his name. What was the joke on that? I can't really find it out.
I tried to Google that in case it was like a weird translation, but I want to be careful how deep I like Google just in case it was some crazy spoiler.
I was wondering if it was a pun or something.
I'm trying to look around. I think what I'm kind of getting is that his... it translates to some form of idiot, and like, you know, they're just calling him, okay, tears a deal, idiot. It's like, come on, how did you know my name is idiot? It's like,
okay.
Well.
Oh dear. Oh, quick thing. I meant to ask this before, but, when they were fighting, Darby the Younger, was that your man's stand power in that they were in a beach? Because I don't think we said that. Okay.
That was
just... Just making sure Dio doesn't have like a really fucking weird room in his mansion.
It's the rec room, you know, when you go to relax and recreation, so you're playing video games and play a bit of beach volleyball. It's up to you.
I think this may be my favourite episode yet.
Well, which part?
obviously the Suzy Q.
Episode, really.
Suzy Q in Japan.
She was so excited by everything. Oh, I gotta get a picture of this. Check it out. A sign saying, don't piss on this.
Brilliant. Homeless person. Wow.
We haven't discussed the most important part of this episode. That is the guy from the Speedwagon Foundation holding the tortoise.
Oh, that's right. It's like, here, hold my turtle. It's like, why do you have a turtle?
We need Anglican turtle too.
Well, he holds it with Suzy Q all day.
Mm. We have Rosas as a butler, so is that guy Guns then? Is that his name? he doesn't get a name. But...
Maybe the turtle is Guns. Oh dear. That was pretty good. That guy was just like, I don't want to, he's just stuck there holding a turtle in the front seat of the car.
Yeah, and they're discussing it all, like, okay, as you know, Holly, he's only a few days left to survive. The guy's got to like, you know, beat Dio and get back, and he's just like, you know, all this serious, he's holding this turtle on.
But he's on good money, though. Decent wage in the Speedwagon Foundation.
It was nice to see Roses kick that dude in the face as well. He must have learned some kung fu from Joseph. You know, just basic kicking in the face and shit.
Oh, that's more than a basic kick. He is a big guy. He kicks like he's nothing.
Well, I mean, like, he's an old dude, but like everyone else in the show, he's ripped, so...
I was going to say, I guess he's probably just some sort of New York street tough that Joseph found and formed a friendship with and took him on as a chauffeur.
I got track him down and trap him.
I've got a question, actually. There's a, in the Suzy Q moments, there's a bit, I didn't get the joke, I don't know whether it's just the subs or something, but she looks, what she thinks is energy drinks.
It's
is
a condom
right?
machine.
Ah, okay. Because I wasn't sure if it was, like, the joke was that they were, like, knickers, like, you know, women's underwear or something stupid, but that makes sense as well.
I think those are more upmarket in the area they're in.
Yeah, it was a good one. Poor Iggy. Mm. Poor Abdul.
I feel like they rubbed it in as well, where it's like, hey, here's, since we haven't had any new stand powers to show you, here's the fool's power levels again. Like, God damn it, guys.
Oh, they did? Yeah, so, yeah.
What are they going to show for the next four episodes? I'm going to go there's one stand left to be revealed.
I mean, like, they could show that every episode, and it could increase every episode. Just like, we thought it was this level, but actually we were wrong.
Actually, yeah, you could be onto something there, Dwight.
Like, they know how fast it is, so then that gets rated. And then once they know how strong it is, then that gets rated. Something like that. I don't know.
I still don't know what the stand power is.
God. Not even from playing the video games.
Well, I have a weird idea, but I don't really know. It seems very abstract, if it's...
What do you think it is?
Well, I remembered seeing Dio in the game, and one of his specials is like a huge steamroller crushes someone, and he stands on top of it, like laughing and stuff.
Yes.
So, but I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is in stand terms.
My stand power of summon steamrollers whenever I want them to run over enemies.
That's a pretty good power.
They're a bird having a female face in the back of your thing, but that's more like a vampire thing.
Yeah. I looked it up, and apparently that was a vampire power, not a stand power. Because that would be that'd be worse than I could change my face to whatever I want.
So can Dio get that as well as a vampire?
I guess, but he's too pretty. I don't think he'd want to. I'll show them my pretty face. It's fine.
No. Dio's vampire power is he can shoot blood out of his eyes as fast as a laser.
Stingy zipper eyes.
They have to pick them out of the player's handbook when they're rolling up their vampire powers.
Yeah, Dio got a really good roll for that. I get a woman's face in the back of my head. Ugh, that's not really going to come in very useful.
Anything
I'm
else
nervous. I'm nervous. I'm nervous. Yeah, I just don't know who's going to survive, who ain't, how it's going to end, and the fact it's ending. I'm nervous for.
How many episodes have we got left, actually?
What episode was this one?
3?
Next up is 45, so I think we've got 4 episodes left.
4 episodes, okay.
We all have another synopsis each. Yes.
Yep.
Who'll have the honour of the finale?
We'll all do it, all at once.
You will, Anthony. Do the math.
I will do it. I will.
You've just done this one, there is 4 left.
Actually, I'm honoured. It will be in the history books for us. Our history books.
Okay, on that note, that ends this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back here next week for Dio's World Part 1. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Sayonara.
Camels with the hump, fat girls, thin girls, some a little plump, slave girls sold here, 50 bob a lump, in the old bazaar in Cairo. Brandy, shandy, beer without a froth, braces, laces, a candle for the moth, bet you'd look a dolly in an old loincloth, in the old bazaar in Cairo. You can buy most anything, thimbles, fat cows, a little bit of string. You can purchase anything you wish, a clock, a dish, and something for your Auntie Fanny. Harem, scarem, what do you think of that? Benny, striptease, dancing on the mat. Oompa, oompa. That's enough of that in the old bazaar in Cairo.